Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, call the jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt, happy Wednesday to you. Good to be back. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad I didn't have to recap that Celtics game, so I'm glad that you took one for the team for us and had to do it, but because it was not a great watch. But how are you, man? I'm excited to get into mailbag questions today.
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I don't blame you. I didn't have a whole lot of fun breaking down that Celtics game because it was just a lot of the same. A lot of the same problems we've seen from this team this season. Being careless with the ball, too many turnovers, a combination of Zach and Kobe both trying to do too much and not exactly having the exact skill set and experience to be this team's and that starting five's, lead facilitators. Another night where we see the Bulls' very young starting five get just worked by their opponent's starting five, and then the Bulls' vet mob bench trying to come in and save them, get them back in the game, keep them in the game. Just so many recurring problems that looked all too familiar in that Celtics game. So, hopefully this team has the next 5 days to look at the film of that game and try and make some corrections and adjustments. Hopefully Wendell will be healthy enough to play for their next game on the schedule, which is now not until Saturday against Portland, because these last two games against the Lakers and Celtics have been some pretty ugly wake-up calls.
I got a positive for you. Thaddeus Young is playing himself, at least in the Bulls' favor. He's going to be a valuable asset at the trade deadline, man. I mean, the numbers he put up against, I felt like it was a tryout for Thaddeus Young and actually a couple of Bulls during the Celtics game. And Thaddeus Young looked great, though, filling in without Carter there and Gafford again in a bunch of trouble.
Yeah. And how about Thad? One rebound and one assist shy of his first career triple-double, which would be pretty crazy considering the dude's been in the league for like 14 years.
Seriously. But I enjoyed hearing you talk a little bit about Kobe White, and I'm sure getting into our text and voicemail line as well, I'm sure there's going to be questions there. Thanks to everybody that's dropped us voicemails, text messages, hit us up on Twitter, or sent us emails. So we got a couple voicemails to play for you guys, and we're going to try to get to as many texts as we can. So let's kick it off with a voicemail.
Hey, guys, this is Jim in Bolingbrook again. I was just wondering. I've been seeing a lot of rumor and innuendo going around on the internet, on Bull Twitter and all that. And I was messing around with the trade machine, and I think that this deal would work, and I think that we should do it. First of all, we're going after Luka Doncic and the Bulls on their end.
Oh,
they would have to
no!
Felicio, definitely. And then probably one of Denzel Valentine, Ryan Arcidiacono, or Josh Longstaff. And then I was also thinking...
Don't ask me dumb questions, don't ask me to.
...from Jim Boylan's athletic department room. And then you throw in 37 first round picks all the way up to 2058, and I think you could probably pull that deal off. But I don't know. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that. And sorry about my last voicemail. I was trying to do a Bill Schwartzky super fans impression. Terrible. All right, guys. Take her easy. And, yeah. And it wouldn't be the first time a player was traded for a copy machine either. So look it up.
I don't even know what to say.
I mean, first round picks every year until 2058 or whatever year he said, that might be just enough to pry Luka away from Dallas. Clearly Jim was just having some fun. I have said repeatedly, Jordan, I'm not sure about you or if you feel differently. If there is one player in this league right now that I could steal away and bring to the Bulls to build around, it would be Luka. I am insanely jealous of the Mavericks organization for having that kid. I also just feel hilarious when thinking about the teams that let him go. Obviously, like the Kings are the worst, especially now when you look at just how messed up the Marvin Bagley situation is for them. But there is no way in hell Mark Cuban is ever letting Luka leave. There's a little alliteration for you, but I mean, I think he is going to be a Mavs lifer just like Dirk was a Mavs lifer.
He would have to ask to leave, and that's not happening anytime soon. That, I don't know, man. And then I've got some concerns about that Dallas team long term, but maybe they can turn it around. And they just don't have any assets to trade for, so I don't see them as appealing this year. But they still got plenty of years. And Luka, dude, Luka's a walking triple double just like Jokic is. But again, yeah. Wait,
but we might have to go back and listen. Kick, or the guy who was supposed to be his sidekick, Kristaps Porzingis, is having a pretty rocky year so far.
Yeah, man, I don't know if he's ever going to be what he was. And like, he was good in the bubble, but I think the bubble is different from all of this travel, and you're not in the same location. And for him, I don't know. He's just not the same guy. But who knows? He's still young. He's just got to stay on the floor, him and Luka. But that's all they have. It's him and Luka and everybody else. Tim Hardaway's a nice piece too, but he's not helping you win a championship. But I guess long story short, I don't know what impression he was trying to do, but we may have to go back and listen to that voicemail to see what impression Jim was trying to do that he hung up less than 60 seconds into his phone call the first time.
I feel like that's just something that Chicago fans need to move on from, honestly. Like, we all enjoyed it when it was happening. You know, the Swirsky super fans, MJ in a hula skirt on Saturday Night Live. Great stuff. Time to move on.
It's a learning moment, and we'll learn from it.
It's a learning moment. Thank you, Jim, for the phone call. I don't know exactly what we accomplished, but it was good. Before we go to another voicemail, we're off to a great start. I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. It's been the place where I've been placing a lot of my Bulls bets, and honestly, I did pretty good this weekend just across the NBA in general on sides and totals. I went 13-4 this weekend, so a lot of money to be made on BetOnline.ag, and you can do it for the Super Bowl, college basketball, all of that. You want to bet on futures, you want to bet on most improved player, MVP, they have odds up there for the NBA as well. So go to betonline.ag, sign up for a free account today, and they will give you a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. So you deposit $250, they're going to give you $125 for free. You deposit $500, they're going to give you $250 for free. So start winning on some of your Bulls bets if you're right. You can bet on player props as well. Go to betonline.ag for 50% welcome bonus when signing up for a free account. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Matt, you want to go to a text message or you want to go to another voicemail?
Let's keep the voicemails rolling, and then we'll hit some text on the back end.
All right, this is from the 617.
Yo, what's up, guys? Clayton in New York here. Just feeling really bummed after watching the Lakers and Celtics games, and I think we've been thinking about this whole Zach LaVine conversation in the wrong way all along. We're always talking about, you know, is Zach a great number two on a championship contending team? Is he a number three? I'm starting to think about, like, you know, what about literally every other guy in this roster? Because I look at that Celtics team and Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kemba, who didn't even play, Marcus Smart. Like, all four of those guys are better than anyone not named Zach LaVine on this Bulls team. And so, I don't know. I'm just realizing how far away this team actually is from being a legitimate contender. And, like, yeah, we're flirting around of maybe eking out 500, maybe eking into the playoffs. But, you know, what can actually change to actually, you know, make us a top four or five team in the East? I just think we're a lot further away from that, and we're a lot closer to just a consistent bottom feeder in the East. Just unfortunately reminds me a lot of the Bears. So yeah, I know luck and hope are not a strategy or a plan, but I hope AK and Mark Evans really got something up their sleeves. Thanks, guys.
Luck and hope are not a strategy or a plan.
What a great reference. Man, I mean, this is actually a good point, Matt. I'm looking at Zach LaVine's game yesterday, and in a snapshot, that's a game where a lot of people who have been maybe critical about where LaVine can be in his career right now and where he can take a Bulls team, you look at it, he had 30 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 6 for 10 from 3, 11 for 19 from the field. I mean, the dude balled out on offense. But he was a large contributor to the loss, I thought. With the 6 turnovers, dude, that was deadly. It was like at one point, Zach LaVine couldn't even be the main ball handler, bringing the ball up and trying to run the offense. I don't know, man. I go back and forth. We see him win games for the Bulls, and he's a main reason why this team wins most of their games. But at the same time, we still have this main question of can he win with other talent equal or better than he is? I don't know. What did you think about seeing him in this win or this loss yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was tough. It was a hard night to watch Zach. I feel like even when he got to the rim and the way that we have seen him really improve and his finishing numbers at the rim this season have skyrocketed compared to last season. He's been insanely efficient at the rim in addition to, you know, knocking down threes. And I think that's why we've seen, you know, overall his true shooting percentages and his overall efficiency this season has just been something to marvel at. But I mean, in the Celtics loss, Zach was just like, he was missing layups. Like, he was just not his night. And couple that with, as you said, one of those high turnover nights, which we see regularly from Zach, it was a tough night to watch. And Clayton brings up a good point when comparing it to a team like the Celtics that have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and, you know, Marcus Smart, or, you know, when healthy and coming back, Kemba Walker, who's certainly even beyond Marcus Smart, makes a trio of stars with Tatum and Brown. And where you say, man, I mean, Zach might be on the level of one of those guys, but he's our best player, and they got three players who are at the level or beyond the level of Zach LaVine. And it's the same thing you felt when you watched the Bulls-Lakers game from last weekend. It's like, oh, right, okay, this is the defending champs. This is a team that has two all-NBA caliber players on it. This is a team that has two guys who could and should in their primes, one of whom is nearing the end of his career, one of whom is in the prime of his career, be top five MVP vote-getters. That's a championship team. The Celtics, with their trio of young stars, that is a contending team. The Bulls are so far away from that. And it's been nice to see some little signs of improvement. And just basically, especially as you and I talked about after the three-game winning streak and, you know, the win over Charlotte, just seeing a three-game winning streak for the first time in what felt like forever. Just seeing competent basketball. Seeing a Bulls team share the ball and have these nights where they're racking up 30-plus assists and playing just like basketball that looks like basketball and is actually fun to watch. That in itself was a step. And so we can feel good about that step. But we are doing it against a completely disheveled Rockets roster. A completely cut in half Mavs team, a mediocre at best Charlotte Hornets team. And then you play two real squads and you get your butt kicked and you get your butt kicked again. It's just a wake-up call as to where the Bulls are. And that's why, you know, as Clayton said, you hope AK and Eversley have something up their sleeve. Because again, on Monday night, we saw the only reason the Bulls kind of managed to stay in that game for certain stretches was not these young players that we are hoping improve and turn into a competitive core together as they grow. No, they got their butts kicked. The Bulls starters got their butts kicked. and it was these old savvy vets coming off the bench, none of whom project to be here long term when the Bulls are competitive again. They're the ones keeping the Bulls in games. They're the ones who are leading the Bulls to victories on some nights. So none of that looks good short term. Longer term, you have to assume that that's why there is going to be some pretty significant changes to this roster.
I mean, just beyond LaVine, you look at the Celtics team, they have depth too. And they continue to add depth every single draft, no matter where they're drafting. And look, they had three picks? They've had multiple picks in the first round over the last couple of years. So I get it. You get multiple shots at it. But it's seemingly like they're good at picking guys no matter where it is. So that's also part of it, too. And then being able to develop. You watch that Celtics team, too, and they all play their roles, too. They all know what their roles are. They're all defined, and they're playing within the system. I think the Bulls do that on some nights, Matt, but it's like they do that against teams that they think that they can beat. And then when they're going up against teams that they know they're going to chalk it up and have an L, nobody plays. Everybody plays for themselves. And I felt like that was a large portion of what we saw in that Celtics game on Monday, was just a lot of guys trying to do things on their own, and it didn't work out. So I have more concerns than LaVine or where the Bulls sit. If you're concerned about where the Bulls' future is, I would be more concerned with other pieces on this roster right now and what we're seeing in their second, third, fourth years than I would be about where LaVine goes or what you do with LaVine. LaVine is a good problem to have.
Yeah, and I think that some Bulls fans who are starting to panic about the LaVine contract extension that's looming and maybe turning himself into not a guy who's playing on a very team-friendly deal right now, who had maybe star potential but was coming off an injury and was not a sure thing, where he's making, you know, 17, 18 million a year, to a guy who you actually would have to sign to a max contract to keep, but can't be the best player on a team that is, you know, making deep playoff runs. And I think that we all, maybe not all, but I think you and I agree that most likely Zach is best suited to be a second or maybe even third option on a really good team. If he is good enough to be the second option on a really good team, there are plenty of players on contending teams in the NBA over the past few years, especially since some of these booms in the salary cap, that are on max level contracts, but they are not the best star on their team. And some of that means constricting the depth of your roster and the quality of the surrounding players. And some of that just means teams being in the luxury tax. And to me, that is going to be a big question down the line. If the Bulls keep Zach LaVine and give him an extension, and then the question becomes, who can we get to come play here with Zach? And he can be the Robin to XYZ players' Batman. Are the Reinsdorfs going to sign off on being a team that operates at or above the luxury tax? Because we've always heard, hey, if we've got a team that's, you know, bound for championships or at least competing for championships, then we could talk about paying that luxury tax. But while we're rebuilding or while we're being mediocrely okay enough to put people in the United Center, we know that Jerry is not keen on the idea of being a luxury team. So that is the big question to me. We all know who Zach is. We all know his limits compared to his strengths. I think we all agree for the most part that he ain't good enough to be the guy to get the Bulls where they want to go. So all of these other younger pieces, some might stay, some might go. Doesn't matter. You need to get a star to come play with Zach. And then the question becomes, will the Reinsdorfs be willing to shell out the money to make that happen? Appreciate the call, Jordan. We got more mailbags to get to. First, though, wanted to tell our listeners about our great friends at Built Bar. The new Built Bars are improved and even deliciouser than ever. Try some of their 6 new flavors that include lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp, and cookies and cream. Plus, you got some of the OG flavors like mint brownie, banana bread, and peanut butter brownie. The Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft, and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious sports fans out there. Lose weight or maintain your weight while indulging in these delicious treats. The Built Bar is low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. Great for the keto diet if that's your thing. Take, for example, the peanut butter Built Bar, which comes packed with 19 full grams of protein but only 180 calories. Just 5 grams of sugar and only 5 grams of net carbs. And right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, will get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Jordan, do we have one more voicemail to get to?
Yep, let's go to it. It's from 937.
Hey guys, longtime listener, first time caller. Kyle from Ohio here. Just wanted to talk about how great it is to watch the Bulls this year, man. It's awesome just to watch some competent basketball. We're hanging with the teams and beating the teams we should. We can definitely see a difference between someone like the Hornets versus the Lakers. You know, a championship caliber team kind of caught us off guard. I'm sitting here watching the Boston game right now. And, you know, we're holding our own. I'm in the second quarter, and it's just great to see Billy Donovan out there coaching the guys. Stacey King and Adam Amin are awesome, and I'm just so glad to have Bulls basketball back and actually want to watch every game. Patrick Williams is a steal. We're headed on the right track. We just got to keep going in this direction, keep growing and developing the guys. And I'm glad that we're going in the right direction. And I love listening to you guys every day. And just keep the show going. That's all I have. Take care, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, like I would completely agree with Kyle, man. It's been a lot more fun to watch this team than it has been probably combined in the last 3 years. February 2019. I get my years mixed up, where the Bulls had their phenomenal Hall of Fame February, where Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine and Otto Porter couldn't be stopped no matter who you put in front of them. That was pretty fun, but outside of that, it's been pretty consistently bad basketball to watch for the last 3 years. And look, the Bulls still take their lumps this season, man, and watching games like that is a little depressing, like the other night where you just know you're outmanned and outmatched against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two of the top 50 guys in the NBA. It's tough to see that and be Chicago, and it's like, where are our guys like that? And so, I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. I know that we have to have some patience with this team as we watch AK and Mark Eversley sort of build this team and find out and define what this team is going to be going forward. We still don't have a clear answer on really anything that we discussed of importance as far as themes for this season, Matt. What Zach's going to do, Lowry's extension, what they're going to do with Wendell, so on and so forth. But overall, I've been cautiously optimistic going into this season, and that's a lot more than I could say from maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah, and thanks to Kyle for the call. I'm sure there were some listeners who were happy to hear that level of optimism and positivity because, you know, I think you and I kind of go back and forth between feeling good about this team when they play well and play together and get wins against those winnable opponents like Kyle was talking about. And then we get the reminders of just how much further they have to go to really be a competitive team in this league when they play teams like the Lakers and like the Celtics. You know, it's, you have to, you know, everything in moderation, optimism, pessimism, just being, you know, open to the reality of the situation that we are in as a fan base and knowing that it won't be easy. And things like I talked about yesterday with Coby White and his recent struggles, Patrick Williams maybe hitting an early rookie wall here and feeling a little overwhelmed recently and getting his minutes cut, as great as we feel about him, as great as our caller Kyle feels about Pat Williams. It's going to be a give and take kind of year. You know, the Bulls are 7-10 as we sit here midway through a week where they won't play between Monday and Saturday. And you hope that they can beat the Blazers, a team who they have probably their best win of the season against when they had that amazing comeback. And that's a quality Western Conference opponent right there with some star caliber players on it. But there are going to be bad nights. There are going to be ugly nights like the Lakers and ugly nights like the Celtics. You just have to keep everything in perspective. And I think, you know, what I personally am trying to do, and Bulls fans, however you want to, you know, exist in the reality of where we are and not go crazy about it, that's up to you and navigate your fandom as best you see fit. Personally, for me, I'm just trying to maintain a fresh level of optimism for not the immediate future, but the longer term future, because I am putting my trust in the fact that finally ownership was willing to hand the keys of the basketball decision making to somebody else. And I know and respect the resume of guys like Arturas and guys like Mark Eversley. And you know and respect the resume of our new head coach, Billy Donovan. And so a young roster that's struggling to beat the best teams in the league should be expected. And I think some roster turnover, whether that comes at this season's trade deadline or right before it, or you know, in the offseason in the late summer of 2021, I think should be expected. Just try to keep everything in perspective when you have these swings of, oh my God, the Bulls got their first three-game winning streak in like a decade. And, oh, right, yeah, this is still where we are when we have those measuring stick games against the defending champions and one of the favorites in the East.
I'll be much more excited to see how we can evaluate this team come maybe three quarters of the way into the season. I want to see how they start that second half too. Especially, it's going to be interesting with a break as well. I mean, like March 3rd, I believe, is the last day of the first half technically. So we'll see if the NBA has to expand or if they're on track to have a couple weeks off and then return for the second half. That's really where it's going to be key, and I want to see what the Bulls can do. And maybe it's even the next 20 games, Matt. We talked about this first 20 games being a really, really tough match, and the Bulls still trying to define and figure out who they are and learn Billy Donovan's system. All they can do is continue to grow. And like to go back to one of our callers earlier, I hate to say it, man, but I think Zach is working his way. As much as the Bulls lose this season, if he continues to play the way that he has this season, man, he's walking himself right into a max contract. And I don't know if the Bulls will hand him that or not. It's impossible to say yes or no to that right now, especially with like I'm nervous about guys potentially in the 2022 free agency class, all of those guys starting to re-sign with their teams with some uncertainty. Like we saw this summer, even all the big names outside of Kawhi Leonard pretty much signed everywhere. So that's something that I guess I keep in the back burner as far as the Bulls' future, and I'm a little bit concerned about. But Zach, I think if he continues to play this way, man, he's walking himself right into a max contract.
Yeah, I think that certainly looks to be the path that he is on, and that'll be a big decision for his new bosses. Jordan, I wanted to take this text message and we can kind of sift through because there's one particular part of it that I want to talk about. This comes to us from David in Virginia. Thoughts after the Celtics game. Zach is good, but not a max player. So there's his opinion on what we were just talking about. Lowry is soft as butter. The guard play in general has taken Patrick Williams' game down several notches. Kobe White will never be a starting point guard and would be better served in a role coming off the bench starting as soon as Saturday. Changed my mind. Thanks, and go Bulls. Thanks for checking in, David. Okay, we've talked about, you know, P-Dub maybe hitting a bit of a rookie wall here. I think maybe, you know, David is onto something in that he's not a guy who has been super aggressive to get his own looks, and, you know, he can, you know, take a pass, and if he feels open, and whether it's behind the three-point line or in the mid-range, confidently take and knock down some shots, but he hasn't been explosive offensively. I talked at length about Kobe White. You and I have talked about Kobe White a lot already out of the gate this season and some of the struggles and the growing pains he's gone through. The thing I got to talk about from this text, though, Jordan, Lowry is soft as butter. Now, I know a lot of our listeners view me as one of the, you know, Lowry apologists out there, who make excuses, whatever they may be, for Lowry not performing at the level we expect from him and maybe harping on some other players more than I pick on Lowry. And I think that it, to some level, that those observations from our listeners and our followers on Twitter is granted. I think my level of believing in Lowry after his rookie year has made it hard for me to be brutally honest with myself about his performance. But I watched Lowry on Monday night, and I completely agree with David. I have been so frustrated with Lowry because we've seen glimpses this season. We finally just broke him out of that, you know, that Jim Boylan rut of only just sitting in the corner and shooting threes. We took a step in the right direction this season. We've seen Lowry bump up his free throw attempt numbers this season. again, small sample size and a modest increase, but like more an increase of almost 2 free throw attempts per game compared to last season. We're seeing him attack the hole at times. We're seeing him attack mismatches in the post at times, but not enough. As much as I see him embrace using his 7-foot frame to bully people, to get to the basket, to get good and easy convertible looks for himself, twice as often I see him shy away from contact. Twice as often I see him come up small on the boards. It is so frustrating, and I am having so much trouble right now hanging on to my faith in that guy. You know I have been a Lowry stan since day one. I still think that there is a all-star caliber player in there somewhere. But right now, especially after that Lakers game and that Celtics game, I am with David. The Lowry is soft crew are speaking to me right now, and I am hearing them, and I am agreeing with them.
Let's not get crazy here.
That's all I would say to both of you guys. Let's not get crazy here. I understand what you guys are saying, and again, context matters with a lot of the Bulls players as much as you don't want to hear it, right? But I got to give the benefit of the doubt to Lowry. Like, he was injured. He was injured for better part of 2 out of the last 3 seasons. He hasn't had a consistent roster or anybody halfway decent outside of Zach LaVine playing next to him for a long period of time. I mean, think about it. We were in year 3, and Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen had played like under 60 games together combined, and we traded for those guys 3 years prior. Like, things like that, adding those things up on top of an insane coach. And again, this might sound like a laundry list of excuses, but I'm willing to be a little bit more patient with Lowry, but again, then you throw in the wrinkle of his contract situation, and it's like, damn, man, right. There's some things in there that you wonder if you stick with him long-term, can you develop him? Can you develop those weaknesses? Or is he just going to be the player that we continue to see? I don't know what the answer is to that. And what's the price tag where the Bulls say, you know what, it didn't work out here. Hope your career works out, but he signs elsewhere this summer. Like, I don't know if we get to that scenario, but I don't know what price tag is too high for the Bulls to say, yeah, you know what, you can walk and we're not going to sign you. That remains to be the question. And it only plays into Lowry's favor too. Everybody at his position this offseason with his skill set has gotten absolutely paid. So I'm sure there's going to be a suitor out there for him, but I don't know, man. It would be nice to have an actual big next to him. Can we remember when he played next to Robin Lopez? I mean, he looked like a completely different player next to Robin Lopez, but Robin Lopez was a big ass body who was one of the best guys at boxing out in the entire league. So that's another factor too, is I think just him and Wendell playing next to each other just doesn't work. And some nights it does and some nights it doesn't. So it's just a combination of things, I think, with Lowry, but I'm willing to be at least a little bit more patient with it. Although I am frustrated at times.
Yeah, you know, I think I will still try to be my patient self when it comes to Lowry's development, and even, you know, Coby White's point guard development. Again, we're not even 20 games into a season where these guys on this Bulls team that didn't go to the bubble had not played competitive basketball in damn near 10 months and had a very truncated training camp. So to make any concrete decisions about the ceiling or the future of some of these young players through 17 games, I think is doing them and yourself a disservice and is kind of short-sighted. I was just saying that in that particular moment, after a couple of these recent games, I have just been opening myself up to and letting myself feel the frustration of the people who are not Lowry believers, but Lowry doubters based on some of his recent performances. And I'm just trying to be honest with myself, Jordan. You know, I can't always be out here just defending Lowry. I got to acknowledge when he plays like poop. And I feel like a couple of these games recently, he's been disappointing. Let's take an email before we get out of here. This one comes to us from B in Chicago. And just a reminder, if you can't or don't want to send us a text or a voicemail, you can always shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. So B in Chicago, Jordan, says, I'm getting big 2004 to 2006 Bulls vibes from this current team. started off insanely bad, like they did in 04, but turned around and kicked everyone's ass with a mix of vets and rising young players. A team that's fun to watch, competitive, and admirable. Obviously unsure if this team can be a near 50-win team like some of those old ones, but it's a nice start to a new era. Shout out to Nocioni. Stay safe and warm in the Chicago Siberian weather, making a return B. Thanks for checking in, man. Jordan, I have certainly heard that from a lot of people so far. And I remember those, you know, we call them the baby bulls, right? The Scott Skiles years where we, after a couple of failed rebuilds and false starts with the Twin Towers of Tyson and Eddie Curry, you know, the Jay Williams motorcycle accident injury that ruined his career after the Bulls spent a high lottery pick on him, you know, after the Elton Brand rookie, co-rookie of the year, and then trading him away, the Bulls finally started to get something together with the arrival of John Paxson and promotion of John Paxson to this team's front office and him flipping over the roster entirely. And those baby Bulls years were some fun years. They never really truly threatened to make a title run, but they were a fun competitive team to watch. And I think that this current roster is on its way towards being something kind of like that. As B said, a mix of some veteran players who are journeyman NBA guys who can come in and kind of be mentors to a much younger group of players. That's where we are right now with the Bulls. But I think we're not quite to the point where we're looking at a 500 team. I know the Bulls flirted with getting back to 500 there when they were 7-8 and went to play the Lakers. And then we're like, oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, so now we're 7-10 after playing two really good teams. And I don't see, with this roster right here that we have, if no changes are made, I don't see them being a team that flirts with 50 wins at any point if they just keep this roster as is. But there are some vibes in that, like the Baby Bulls, they, you know, they played hard. They played for each other. And on some nights, they're fun to watch. And then on some nights, when they play the best of the best in the league, you are reminded of their limitations.
And if it's not getting blown out right at the first half, it's blowing your lead. 2 minutes left, a minute left, not having the closer consistently on this team either. I can see it. I would say, though, the comp would be the best player on that Baby Bulls team was either, what, Luol Deng or Ben Gordon at the time. I think Zach LaVine's better than either one of those guys, so I would hope that we're a little bit better than the Baby Bulls.
I hear the Ben Gordon stands marching towards your front door already, Jordan.
Well, that's just a dumb argument. Zach LaVine is way better than Ben Gordon was, even in his prime here with the Bulls, way better than Ben Gordon.
I'm very much in your corner on that, but I just know that there are some Bulls fans who are obsessed with Ben Gordon and think that he gets slandered and underappreciated by a lot of the fan base.
The Bulls had so much more depth, though, with that Baby Bulls team than this team does, and this team just doesn't play together consistently. Again, I think it goes back to that, Matt, is like some nights this team buys into what Billy Donovan's selling them, and then other nights it's like, oh, we get down early, guys miss shots, they're looking up at the scoreboard. And that was something else too, man, that I think we need to talk about a little bit more as we consistently see Kobe continue to struggle, man, is just some of these guys just need to stop paying attention to how many points they're putting up on the board. And Billy Donovan kind of called Kobe out for that. And he's like, you know, he gets depressed when he doesn't see enough points on the board. And it's like, there's other roles and there's other things to be able to do on this team. So like, yeah, again, I just think depth development probably a little deeper on that Baby Bulls team than this team. But yeah, as far as superior player, I think Zach LaVine gets that all that credit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But man, you know, I am with B in that I thoroughly enjoyed those Baby Bulls years because those were some fun squads. And I think, you know, like the apex of the Baby Bulls was when they unexpectedly knocked off the defending champion Heat in the first round of the 2007 playoffs. Like, you know, and not only knocked them off, but legit swept them out of the playoffs as the defending champs. And like, you know, B mentioned Nocioni, obviously a fan favorite of Chicago, but that was the team that had, you know, the vet Ben Wallace, who was like, the big free agent signing, who at the time was still coming off of
terrible
those,
signing,
you know, the years in Detroit where he won a title, you know, several Defensive Player of the Year awards, the rising play of Gordon and Deng and Captain Kirk. Chris Duhon, you know, quality minutes. And then you had, you know, some of the vets like Adrian Griffin was on that team. Malik Allen was on that team. Like, yeah, man, it was a fun team. The Bulls draft with laughingstock Tyrus Thomas was on that team. Those were, you know, those were some fun days. But I think the teams that we saw arrive shortly thereafter, aka the Joakim and Derrick Rose teams, led by Tom Thibodeau, that, you know, made it as far as a, you know, a 1-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals against arguably one of the greatest assembled, most talented teams of all time. Those are more fun. Those are more fun memories than the Baby Bulls, because, you know, for most of the Bulls fan base that, you know, experienced championships, those are the expectations, and that's what we want. And for the younger part of the fan base that weren't around for that or were too young to remember that, that's also what they want because they haven't gotten to enjoy it yet. So the Baby Bulls were fun, but that should not be the end goal, and I don't think anybody thinks that that is the end goal.
Yeah, we better not be trading a future LaMarcus Aldridge for a future Tyrus Thomas anywhere near our future. That just better not be happening. We've gone through too many painful drafts where guys don't work out. Just bring it, basketball gods, bring it in our favor for once. And everybody outside of the Bulls Nation that's listening to this, maybe a random NBA fan popping on here, listen to us crying about it after we were the ones who lucked into having the guy that won us 6 championships at one point. So I guess we don't have anything long, like historically we can't cry about draft picks ever because of Derek, because of MJ. But man, we've been struck with some bad luck and just some bad picks too. So I hope that's not in our future. I hope a future LaMarcus Aldridge swap for a future Tyrus Thomas is not anywhere near in our future.
Jordan, real quick before we get out of here, just a little bit of interesting news. I'm not sure if you saw this yet, but Brandon Robinson, a.k.a. Scoop B, on Twitter, just like a little under an hour ago, as we're recording here Tuesday afternoon, said the Chicago Bulls have interest in Pelicans point guard Lonzo Ball, I'm hearing. Clippers, Knicks, Magic, Raptors, Mavs do also, as I reported last week. So it's not Woj, it's not Shams, it's not, you know, Shelburne or Lowe or some of the people that you might, you know, have those alerts set for. But, you know, somebody who has certainly broken some big NBA news in recent years and someone who is respected on NBA Twitter. Now, we saw the other headlines already around, you know, Tuesday morning, and maybe even as soon as Monday evening surface about the Pelicans maybe looking to move Lonzo Ball. And it's not surprising considering that he's had a pretty rocky start to his season and that maybe expectations are not being met. And Lonzo is a name that has come up with Bulls fans all the time. A lot of Bulls fans thought that we should have drafted him or traded up to get him if possible. And since he came into the NBA, a lot of Bulls fans ask about trading for him all the time, especially when this team has for so long been lacking a playmaking point guard. What do you think about this?
Depends on what you're going to give up for him. I feel like you're probably going to have to give up too much for him, especially with him going into a contract year, right? Isn't he going to be a restricted? Oh, no. Yeah, he's going to be a restricted free agent. So I don't know. What are they going to ask for in return, right? They're probably going to ask for Lowry or Wendell. Are you willing to trade either one of those guys for Lonzo?
Man, none of that is enticing to me.
I mean, you're getting a playmaker. You're getting your playmaker. You're getting a very good defending guard, somebody who's got a ton of wingspan. We know AK and Mark Eversley love their wingspan. You're getting that guy at a young age, still a lot of his career ahead of him. The only thing that I was reading, and I was reading, it's funny that you bring this up because I was reading a bunch of Lonzo Ball articles, these rumors that were coming out from The Athletic right before we jumped on. And one of the sticking points was them like asking, is anybody concerned about what Lonzo's offense looks like? And if this is it, if this is really what you're getting, because if this is it, I don't know how he could be a starting level guard in this league. He could be a very decent backup, but not a starting level guard. So I think that would be the only concern, is like, where's the consistency on offense? And do you need that if you keep Zach? And are you willing to trade one of your two young pieces in Markkanen or Carter in order to get Lonzo? Is that what it would cost? Does that make sense, or is that too much?
I think that might be what it costs. And if it were, I would say no to that. As much as I am still holding my breath, and worriedly so, as far as the development and long-term future of Lowry and Wendell, and whether or not their futures are in Bulls jerseys, I'm sorry, I am just out on Lonzo. Maybe he'll get things on track at some point, but I was never super high on him when people were, you know, drooling over him coming into the draft, and I've never been super high on him since he came into the league. And you look at what he's doing with the Pelicans so far this season, and again, small sample size, just a dozen games, but you know, about the same stuff as last season with the Pelicans, averaging about 32 minutes per game. He's shooting 38.9% from the field and 29% behind the three-point arc on 7.2 attempts per game. He's taking 7 threes a game, and he's shooting at a less than 30% clip. Oh, cool. He's averaging 4.7 assists per game. Awesome. He's also averaging 2.5 turnovers.
Stay in your lane.
What is the obsession with this guy? I will never understand it, other than he had a father who was really good at building him up, and he made some flashy stuff happen as he was entering the NBA in his various levels of competition. But the dude's been a disappointment. Anyone who doesn't think that Lonzo has been a disappointment compared to the hype so far in his NBA career, I don't know what they're looking at. So for me, it's a hard pass.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to give up too much. And I was just reading, too, that Golden State seems like they're trying to maybe make a Kelly Oubre, Lonzo Ball swap work, which would make sense, because then the Warriors would get their second guard. They could sign him long term. You get rid of Oubre's contract. It kind of lines up with what you're going to pay Lonzo long term. And it's an insurance policy on Klay Thompson, too. And at least it somewhat makes you a little bit more competitive. Lonzo goes back to California, gets closer to LA, can be back in LeVar's stratosphere. And yeah, man, I don't know. I would rather, if he goes to free agency, I would rather do it that route, because the Bulls are going to actually have cap as opposed to having to give up assets. And I just feel like the Pelicans are going to ask for too much. If we're talking the veterans on our team, then I think you're having a different discussion. I think if you're talking about Thaddeus Young and Thomas Adoransky, but I don't know why that Pelicans team would want to do that. They're buns right now. They want to tank to get another draft pick. So they're going to want young assets or draft picks in return for Lonzo. And I don't think the Bulls are in a position to do that.
No, I don't think so. I think, yeah, you're right. The price tag for him, compared to what I think that guy's ceiling is. And yes, I am saying this fully acknowledging and fully aware of the fact that I just spent the entirety of our previous episode talking about how Coby White doesn't look like he's going to be the Bulls point guard of the future, at least through my eyes right now. And knowing that this team needs some better playmaking, especially in its starting five, with all this young talent, they are sorely lacking in that department. And even acknowledging that, I am good on Lonzo when you talk about what it would cost in a trade to get him.
Yeah, I mean, the playmaking has been bad. That's maybe something we can talk about sometime later this week, too, is just, I mean, a quarter way through the season and the playmaking has been terrible. I mean, that's kind of an understatement from the point guard position. And again, Zadaransky was out for a while too, so give him the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, I think there's another conversation or two to be had about Coby White. And I think Donovan's testing him, man, too. So that's something else that we can kind of get into as well. I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls, though.
Real quick, Jordan.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about this a lot, but just some breaking news here. Reminder, we're recording this Tuesday afternoon. The Chicago Bulls just issued an injury update on Wendell Carter Jr., who will be reevaluated in 4 weeks after an MRI confirmed a severe right quad contusion. Thanks, Denzel.
Wow.
4 weeks. That's just brutal.
That's tough. This has already looked bad too, man. I mean, this has already looked bad without him. Like, I was complaining, I was sitting here bitching and moaning that he was getting in foul trouble early, but I mean, this has looked worse without Wendell the last couple of games, man. Is that, I don't even know. I don't know how to react to that.
Just
add it to the list of things throughout this entire rebuild, man. Some things never change.
All the people in Bulls Nation wondering if Wendell is, you know, an injury prone player. And it sucks that we have to ask that question seemingly every month about all of the pieces that the Bulls have tried to build with over the last several years. Is Chandler Hutchison an injury prone player? Is Wendell an injury? Is Lauri Markkanen an injury prone time and time and time and time again? And man, you know what's crazy? Rewind 3 years, and we were all wondering what Zach LaVine would look like coming off a torn ACL, and we all forget. Zach LaVine has gotten even more, you know, athletic in his prime and gotten even better, and we forget that that dude tore an ACL and all of the other, you know, quote-unquote core pieces that the Bulls have tried to build around Zach, all of them have that, is he an injury-prone player tag? And this latest update from Wendell will only further that discussion.
Man, that sucks. I hope it's nothing severe either, but I mean, having to sit out a month, this kind of matches up with the timeline of almost the end of the first half, Matt, barring any changes from the NBA. So, I mean, honestly, I'll be completely honest with you right now. This is just immediate reaction, but I don't think we see Wendell to the second half. I mean, that would make the most sense. Why risk it, right? To play three games and then have like 3 or 4 weeks off. Might as well just completely rest him. But again, we'll find out more, I guess, as Billy Donovan kind of addresses this in the next day or two and hear from some of the players. But man, that sucks.
Does suck indeed. Not, you know, it's not a new feeling to get, you know, a gut punch injury update like that as a Bulls fan. I feel like we've just been dealing with that for years and years and years, and it sucks. And like you said, hopefully there will be some kind of, you know, silver lining to this news, and we'll see how Donovan spins it and how he deals with the rotation recently. But Gafford has looked like a guy who's struggling in that starting lineup. So now knowing you're going to be without Wendell for the foreseeable future, whew. I don't know, man. The Bulls might have some rocky days ahead.
I think that's good about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. Thanks for everybody who dropped us texts, voicemails, emails, tweets, all of that. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. You can drop your voicemails, your text messages, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.